Good afternoon, gamblers.
Tony.
Hey.
This is Bro Bets, a podcast for degenerates by degenerates, the number one betting podcast on all of the internet based on the pools that we have taken. Don't question that information. It's perfect. Don't even think about it.
No.
We are here today. What is it? Wednesday, June 12th. Before we get into our normal stuff, the right side, our best bets, all of those beautiful things. Foxy's in the room.
Hello.
And he is...
Must be a major coming around the corner.
There is a major this weekend. Starting tomorrow. So we wanted to bring him in. He has picked the winner in the first two majors.
Here we go.
Gorms always scoffs at it because he said you've taken Brooks Koepka every single time. Which, I mean, I said,
think it's only smart.
That's just smart.
He's a smart guy.
I didn't take him in the Masters. At least I don't think I did. I definitely do take Tiger.
Yeah, there's a little gray
area.
I
mean, you throw out four or five names and the winner hits out of fucking 200 guys.
It's
you're good.
Not four or five, Tony. It's more like 10 to 12. Hey, but I mean, he's good. The guy's good.
And the only thing that matters is that we're making money.
There you
That's
go.
That's right. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're taking the favorites if they're winning. I mean,
Foxy, you break the field down from 100 plus down to about 15 guys. I like that.
That's not what he does.
That's better.
Gorms.
I bet you he's got five.
Thank you. I have five. I do have five. That's what I always have.
All right. So who do you have for this weekend?
Okay, let's go.
Pebble Beach.
Hold on before you go.
Go ahead.
I always have the same guys on it, or we've had in the past. Yeah. I've got one guy in mind. I'm dying to find out if he's in your fave five.
Okay, I went a little different this time. I didn't pick a lot of favorites. Okay. So first and foremost, I'll get this out of the way. Yeah, I do. And we're all Americans here. So
yes.
You put money on Tiger Woods plus 1,100.
Yeah, you
got
to.
Got to. By the way,
Sunday viewing, yeah.
Always just pick winners. I don't do any of the other stuff.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so that's my guy, obviously. Always put money on him because if he wins, you can say you put money on him. It's a cool thing. Next guy. Love this man. He needs his U.S. Open. It's got to happen eventually.
Phil
Mickelson plus 4,500. I just like him at Pebble Beach.
Sure.
Something
good call.
About it.
Great. And then, you know what? Phil's been relaxed lately. He's enjoying social media. Mm-hmm. I don't think he has any pressure on him anymore. I'd love to see him.
He's kind of under the radar right now, too.
Yeah.
He hasn't done that much. Exactly.
Everyone.
So I like him there. And then I picked this guy last time. I'm going to pick him again. I think he's been playing well. So I'm going to go with Sneds at plus 5,000.
Okay. Sneds.
Wow. I just am a big Snedeker guy. What is it? The Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Mm-hmm. He's won that like twice I saw.
Okay.
So I threw him in there. I like him. And then these are my
sleeper picks.
And they both have the same odds. Martin Kaymer.
Okay.
He had a good finish the other day.
Yeah.
The other week. Sorry. And he's just a guy that like, he's like Kawhi Leonard, right? He's just not going to do anything. He's just going to go out there. He's going to ball and then like show up out of nowhere.
Well, yeah, because he was... I don't know if I was watching. Because I was watching on Saturday when Tiger was moving a little bit.
Yep.
And Kaymer was like minus 15 in the lead. So, yeah, he's coming on. He's in good form.
I think he had a top five last week where Rory won, the Canadian one. I think.
RBC.
I could be wrong there. And then another guy that's won this year. I just kind of like him. Both of these guys are at plus 10,000, by the way.
Okay.
My last pick, Kevin Na.
Hey,
he's having a decent year.
Yeah, I mean, he keeps it in the fairway. That's all you got to do.
It's either he does well or he's just going to completely miss the cut.
Do you guys know? So I know normally the U.S. Open is set up as the hardest tournament of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
The rough is a disaster. The greens are fast.
Stimp meter, yeah, baby.
So like they're rolling at 15 on the stimp.
Sure.
Do we know the Pebble plays the same way for the U.S. Opens?
Oh, they cut that thing. I'm telling you, this is going to be a tough, don't go in the rough. Plus, we got all the rocks around us and everything like that. The rough will be up.
Don't let the scenery
you. Don't let it chew you, like they say. But I'm telling you, to be able to putt on Pebble Beach on those greens, hello, Phil. I love that you threw him out there.
Yeah, I really feel good about the Phil pick.
Mm-hmm. We're saying Phil is a good putter?
Well, I just like when he gets coach. When he gets hot, there's no
coach.
Yeah, I did, but there's nobody better. I mean, I'm just saying. I like when you're talking these veterans. When you're talking like Tiger and coming in,
yeah,
you got the young guns. I like what
Fox. Do you have Gorms?
I got Adam Scott winning this whole
thing.
Okay, yeah.
He's one of my. So you got him. Just anyone else?
No,
just Adam Scott.
No, I'm not. I'm not going with the whole stable of golfers. I'm picking one guy and saying the way that he's playing right now, he's got multi majors in front of him. Yeah, I said it. He's got multi majors in front of him. And this is one of them. I like him at Pebble.
I'll give you, I got four. And I kind of did like Foxy, where you go from one of the favorites down to a couple dogs.
Right.
I got DJ plus 900.
Yep.
I mean,
yes.
DJ, DJ loves US Open.
Yes.
He should have won up in Washington. Mm-hmm. And then he won at Oakmont. I was there. Beautiful course. He's the caddy there. Great course. Adam Scott, plus 3,400. What are you going to say, Fox?
I was going to say about DJ. He kind of just feels due, by the way.
Like, yeah, yeah. He's been very under the radar.
And he loves Pebble Beach.
Playing great golf. Mm-hmm. It's just he's due.
So DJ, Adam Scott, plus 3,400. Mm-hmm. I am agreeing with you there, Gorms. Webb Simpson, mm-hmm. plus 4,900. Okay. He's got a U.S. Open under his belt. Likes to play out here in California. And then my guy who I always pick as my long shot, I don't know why, but I love the way he plays, Gary Woodland, plus 8,500.
He likes Woodland, the former Kansas guard.
I love Gary Woodland. Todd, you got anything for these?
DJ, yeah. I saw he's won the Pro-Am, the AT&T Pro-Am there twice.
Saw that.
I just love
Pebble
Beach.
I love you two going off the Pro-Am stats.
Oh, yeah. I just feel like, you know, that they always say that's one of his better courses. Mm-hmm. So
I got a toe in the water.
Oh, yeah, because Paulina feels at home out there in L.A.
Yeah.
What's up? What's
Plus, there's nobody cooler, in my opinion, right now.
No. What, Corpse?
I'm riding the Adam Scott train, but I need to toe in the water.
Oh,
one player.
I thought you only had one pick.
Well, it's a toe in the water, Tony. So, I mean, you know, there are differences.
Okay, go.
Hideki Matsuyama.
I like him.
Hideki
What's his form
Matsuyama.
Like this year,
he's solid.
I just don't know.
Okay.
He had like that run where he was so hot, but he couldn't get it done. And then now he's this year, he's been a little cold.
Tony, did you like that scouting report from me?
You just wanted to say Matsuyama.
No, he's solid.
You literally just wanted to say Hideki Matsuyama. Foxy, we appreciate your picks as always.
Good picks, Foxy.
Yeah, one last thing. Out of all of our picks, none of us took Koepka.
Just
throw a little bit of money on him.
Yeah, I feel like you don't – it's like – when you come in here and say put a little on Tiger, you don't even have to. Like,
yeah, exactly.
We're putting a little bit of money on Tiger.
If he wins this stinking Pebble Beach, if he wins the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, this is like a Jordan run.
100%.
For a golfer.
It's a Tiger run.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's a Tiger run, but it's unbelievable, this kid, if he does
Jordan
it.
Into this.
One of the all-time greats. He had a couple of good runs. I don't know if you want to look at some championship rings.
Yeah, it's the shit that I have to deal with here. Thanks, Foxy.
Well, I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Foxy. Appreciate it.
See you, buddy. Thank you.
Let's go to the right side. We do it every single show. Our picks from last night.
Tony, do we have to?
Gorms, I'm not going to blame you. I'll tell you why. Because we talked you up too much as far as WNBA. When that happens, you know, you don't always have a winning night. But it wasn't terrible. You went 1-2.
Yeah, it was bad. You got to go 2 or 3 if you're playing 3 games. I don't care if it's Tiddlywinks, fishing, or women's basketball.
We would have enjoyed a winning game. But, I mean, 1-2 is not the worst that we've ever seen. I mean,
I was right on the Fever. I was wrong on a couple other ones. And I like the Road Dogs.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should continue.
I got to remember the casino thing, though, man. God,
I think we should continue to not go against the Sun.
I know.
I mean, those teams go into the Mohegan Sun, and the Mohegan Sun is one of the fucking wildest casinos in the country. And you go against Oriema up there, and it's dumb. It's just you don't go against the Sun in Connecticut, okay? Okay, can we make that rule?
Agree.
Yeah, and then the Phoenix Mercury lost. I mean, they were 4-point favorites and they lost. Yep. Just not good. Other things not good. I had over 9 in the Dodgers and Angels and they went to 8. So
second game in a row.
Tough little loss there. We took the first 5 in Minnesota and Seattle. Turns out should have took the game there because Minnesota ended up winning the game, not the first 5. That'll happen, Todd, right?
Yeah.
That'll happen. You know, sometimes that'll happen. I still think you were on the right side there. If it makes
sense. I agree.
I agree, too. Houston, your best bet, minus 115, 10-8 game. Nice little winner there.
Yep.
Who else did we have? Oh, my best bet, Cincinnati, first 5 against Cleveland. It was 1-1 after 5, so I got a push there for myself.
That's the worst-case scenario when you go with Castillo.
A push?
It's a push.
That's your worst-case scenario. That is.
I mean, in a first 5 bet.
He gave up 1 over 5. That's pretty much what his standard is mm-hmm. what he does. So as far as best bets, Todd is now 3-0 on the week.
Look at you, Todd.
Hey.
I am 2-0-1.
Attaboy, Tony.
And then Gorms is 2-1 after his Mercury loss last night.
Yep.
Let's move on to our best bets today. Todd, you're in the lead. You want to go first?
Sure. I have Toronto money line versus the Orioles.
Okay. A couple of great pitchers on the
mound. Yeah, these pitchers suck. Suck big donkey balls. The Blue Jays are starting Edwin Jackson. He's 0-4, 11.9 ERA. The Orioles are starting David Hess, 1-8 with a 7.08 ERA. But this is all that matters. Edwin Jackson, for whatever reason, is very effective against the Orioles specifically. In his last 3 starts against the Orioles, he's only given up 2 runs.
Probably because they're bad.
Yeah. But That's the difference.
All right, this so you are going. Bet. What yep. was that? Toronto what?
Toronto money line.
Full game money line.
Full game money line.
The Toronto Blue Jays. Gorms, who do you have
Can
for
we
your
all
best
just
bet?
Hop into the station wagon and drive up to Boston and watch a Disney movie?
What the fuck are you talking
well,
about?
Well, here's what I'm talking about, because this Disney movie comes to an end tonight on the ice in Boston.
Okay.
St. Louis Blues. You do what you have to do. One of the worst teams in the NHL on January 3rd. They are now at Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. The Cinderella slipper will be worn tonight. St. Louis on the road. Hoist the cup at Boston.
Since 2005, home team is, what, 12-4?
Bring it,
Game 7s in Lord Stanley's Cup?
Bring it.
That's a great stat. Yeah. St. Louis Blues much better on the road than they are at home.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only thing that scares me here, and I know this has nothing to do with what's going on the ice, but I mean it's tried and true forever. They're gonna do a moment of silence or a moment of loudness or whatever for Big Poppy tonight, and that place is going to be fucking.
Don't underestimate rocking. The
if,
Poppy
if,
factor.
If Big Poppy did not get shot the other night, I would have went with the Blues too.
Mm-hmm.
But now that that's going to be going on, I just don't know who I like in that game. But you know what, Gorms? You've been on the Blues since day one.
Yep.
You've been on the road Blues since day one. So we're going to trust you here, okay?
All right. Love it, boys.
Hey,
we're in the mix.
We're going to trust you here, okay?
We're in the mix.
Doesn't like Big Poppy. Not a Big Poppy fan.
Yeah. Love over Big there. Poppy. But, you know, Big Poppy didn't get to score many goals tonight, boys.
Kind of fucked up, Gorms. I mean, if we're being...
Love the guy. Sorry he got shot, but he's not lacing him up tonight, boys.
If we're being honest, kind of fucked up. I am going to go for my best bet. It's just like I did with Castillo last night. Soroka and Castillo have been number one and two all season, first five ERA. So I'm going Braves, first five run line versus the Pirates tonight, just because Soroka's been absolutely unbelievable. And then the Pirates, who even knows? Who cares who the Pirates are marching out tonight? It doesn't matter.
No, I mean, it doesn't matter.
Oh, are you on this game too?
Oh, yeah. I'm double stamping the fuck out of that one.
Why?
Soroka.
Tell me why.
Soroka is a fucking monster. Mitch Keller for the Pirates.
Keller?
Yeah.
No one named Mitch has ever been fucking good at sports.
Yeah. And the right now the fucking Pirates are not hot. They've lost their last five games. The Braves have won their last five. Let's go. A huge pitching advantage like that. And Atlanta is the hotter team. First five run line all day.
Yeah, let's continue there with baseball. Another one of my picks. I'm going with pitchers tonight. Just like we normally do, but Houston is only -120 again. They fucking came through last night. They're going to come through again tonight. I'm going Houston Astros with Verlander on the mound. Full game -120 is what I'm seeing it at now. And then the Brewers have Woodruff on the mound. He's been solid. But
yeah.
I mean, I'm not going against the Astros in that lineup against Verlander at home. I'm just not doing it. So I'm going Houston is one of my picks. Todd Gorms, you guys got any other MLB picks?
I do.
Go ahead,
Todd.
All right, so I got Minnesota run line versus Seattle.
Favorite.
Yeah. Jose Berrios is starting for the Twins. He's 8-2 with the 3.15 ERA. He's facing Tommy Maloney. I don't know. For the Mariners, 1-1, 3.1 ERA. He's a lefty. That's what's more important than how his last name's pronounced.
Exactly.
He's a lefty. Since April 1st, the Twins are the top hitting team in the league against lefties. At home, let's go, Twins.
Yeah, I mean, let's go.
We're gonna win this game by six.
We're always let's go, Twins. What do you got, Gorms?
Well, you don't have to throw it in the cup of coffee or parlay because it's an odd sort of my mentality here and my theory is not normal on this bet.
Okay.
But I am betting against Las Vegas and the handicappers in particular. I'm not betting on the Cubs or the Colorado Rockies, but the line has been set. The under/over is at 12.5.
Okay.
Which is like 100 in football.
You're right.
Okay, it's huge. So I am just saying, I love you guys. You're usually right on the money. But when you throw up an under over at 12.5 runs at a baseball game,
I am
going with the pitchers tonight. I'm going under 12.5 runs, Chicago Cubs at the Rockies tonight. Like I said, my theory, it's off base. It's odd. It's from left field.
No, I like it.
But that's what I'm going with.
My last pick, I'm going the Cleveland Indians first five run line. Zach Plesac is on the mound. He's been absolutely incredible with a 1.6, I believe, ERA. Mm-hmm. And then he's going against Di Scalfani for the Reds. He's up and down year. I just like Plesac, the young stud. So I'm going Indians first five run line. Do you boys have any other baseball?
I want to double stamp that because it's a Let's day game. DeSclafani has a 6.59 ERA during the day.
Let's go.
And Plesac for Cleveland has a 1.29
nice,
ERA
Todd.
In day games.
Nice.
Let's go.
Fucking steady.
Early
Todd.
Rises.
Hey.
Hey. All right, so let's continue, I believe. So we covered MLB, we covered the NHL, the U.S. Open. Gorms, is there any WNBA tonight?
Oh, Tony, you know there is. And I am bucking the trend again. Last night I went 1-2. We've been pretty hot here after a slow start. The New York Liberty, who we took a couple of days ago, they had lost 17 straight games.
17 straight?
They got a huge victory, and it's all because of Todd. You remember her.
You
the number one overall pick about 6, 7, 8 years ago.
You remember.
Tina Charles is playing
out of
her mind.
Tina Chuck, I call her.
Tina
So the Liberty at home today, getting 3.5 points against the always dangerous Minnesota Lynx. There are a few injuries and nicks and bumps and bruises on the Lynx roster. They're not great. Anybody can win the title in the WNBA, basically.
Okay.
Anybody can. Maybe not the Indiana Fever, but
yeah,
no, they're
there
not. They're
all
not
right,
so
let's
great.
Take it easy on the Fiefs.
I know, but I'm saying this: New York Liberty plus the 3.5 at home. I need you, Tina Charles, to come to play, and Bria Hartley, you do the same thing. I like the New York Liberty to win outright, and they're getting 3.5 points at home.
You know what, Gorms? We appreciate your efforts there. We appreciate your WNBA knowledge, and I think you're really going to have a huge bounce back night.
Three pin clicks on that one.
Wait, that was a three pin clicker?
Yeah. Let's go, Gorms.
There we go. Let's go, boys.
Gorms,
I need it.
Gorms, you're the best. You're the absolute best. Which leads me to our cup of coffee a day parlay.
Let's get some figures and some numbers.
We've got an 8-teamer today.
Love it.
Let me know, because I normally put the bets in beforehand. I've been on the fly here this episode. Let me know if I got everything right.
Okay.
The Toronto Blue Jays in the battle of the worst pitchers in the league, -105, Todd.
Yes.
St. Louis Blues, Gorms.
Yep.
First five, Atlanta Braves. Mwah.
Yep.
Houston Astros.
So was it run line or money line?
Run line, yes. Minus the half.
Okay.
Houston Astros, full game. First five, Cleveland Indians. Chicago Cubs, Colorado Rockies, under 12.5. It's just too big.
Mm-hmm.
New York Liberty, +3.5.
There we go.
And the Minnesota Twins. Are we good with that?
Run line.
Run line. The Minnesota Twins, run line.
I think we're good.
Nice little payout
Let
today.
Me hear
bro.
It. Let Come me on. Hear it.
8-teamer, $5 to win $707. Yeah.
Let's fucking
Let's
go.
Go. Today's the day, boys and girls. Let's go.
It feels good, doesn't it?
Yes. It feels real good.
You know what else feels good? Having an incredible person come on this show to talk about the Green Bay Packers. We continue our 32 teams in 32 days-ish NFL preview segment with the Green Bay Packers today. Enjoy and good luck.
Good luck.
We continue on in this 32 days, 32-ish teams segment we got going on the NFL preview. We are joined today by Packers reporting legend Aaron Nagler. Aaron, thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, that's far too kind in the intro, but absolutely. Thanks a lot for having me.
No, I mean... I followed you a long time, and I'm not even a Packers guy. I'm a Steelers guy. I'm joined here by my co-hosts, Tom McCombs and Jeffrey Gorman. And then he is also a minority owner and subscriber to Cheesehead TV.
That is correct.
Ty Schmidt joins us.
Very nice.
So, yeah, if you want to go check out Aaron's stuff, go to cheeseheadtv.com. You can subscribe there for all the best Packers coverage. You can follow him on Twitter, at Aaron Nagler. Wait, is your... The NFL, are you still suspended or are we good now?
Oh, we're good. We're good. All is well. I still have the backup account just in case, though.
So, yeah, I was so like that put us all because I used to send out some videos too of the NFL, and then you were kind of like, they kind of made an example of you, and I was like, probably should stop.
It's all good. It was funny too because the NFL is the one who ultimately went to bat for me to get my account back.
Hilarious.
Twitter had some kind of like automatic algorithm that sensed what I was putting out was ripped right from the broadcast, and they just shut it down. And the NFL was like, no, he's been doing that for a decade. So it's all good.
All right, let's get into the Packers. Vegas has them this year over under 9.5. How do you feel about that number looking at the schedule going into the season, stuff like that?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, we're sitting here in the spring. They haven't put pads on yet. Hard to say with much conviction one way or the other. I would probably take just under. And I know lots of Packers fans get up in arms when I say these kind of things when I try to be realistic. But, hey, if they win nine games this year, that's a three-game improvement with a rookie head coach. You know, that's nothing to sneeze at. And I know it's title town. Everybody wants to gun for a championship. And I do think the ceiling is quite high in Green Bay. But if we're being realistic, I mean, I think nine wins is about right where they land.
Yeah, and it's the first time in a long time that I feel like the last few seasons has always been 11 or 12, no matter what.
Yep.
And then the thing about the 9.5 there is I think the NFC North is the best division in football. There's no really team that you can guarantee two wins against or even one win against during the season. Maybe the Lions, but who knows? I mean, with Matt Stafford under quarterback, you never know. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough division, no doubt. I don't know about the toughest, but they do know each other so well. The Packers may have a bit of an advantage early on because who knows what to expect from LaFleur and the offense. You talk about the Lions, though. I mean, they've beaten the Packers the last four times they played them.
Yep.
So it's definitely anybody's division as far as interdivision play. I think these teams always beat up on each other, no matter who the coaching staffs are. And that's just the nature of the NFL. You know, you do spend a little bit more time on your division rivals. You got to win your division, and I think the Packers match up pretty well with everybody in the division. It's just a question of can they execute when called upon.
Aaron, let's talk about this team defensively. No Clay Matthews. They went out in free agency and got Adrian Amos, Preston Smith, and also Za'Darius Smith, and Rashawn Gary, number one overall. What do they look like defensively? Will they be able to stop the opposition for once in Green Bay?
Yeah, and it's been a long time, right? Well, I tell you what, I love Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator. I loved that hire when it was made. He was really coaching with one hand behind his back last year. And, you know, Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, his action this offseason, you mentioned all those additions on that side of the ball. It really speaks to the front office knowing that he didn't really have a lot to work with last year. I think you're going to see a marked improvement. Now, again, it's June. We haven't, you know, taking one snap with pads on yet, so who knows how it all comes together. But the athletes they have up front now are exactly that's the kind of mix that Pettine's had really good success with throughout his tenure, going all the way back to his time here in New York with the Jets. You know, he does a really good job. He doesn't need, you know, a Von Miller. He doesn't need a premier guy. Mm-hmm. He really does a good job of freeing guys up, utilizing their individual characteristics to kind of confuse and combat the front and the quarterback of the opposing offense. It really sets up well. It looks great on paper, but now let's see them execute.
Aaron, you kind of briefly mentioned it about the Packers having a little bit of an advantage with LaFleur going into the season. I know it's early and it's kind of tough to say, but from what you've seen so far, do you think he is the guy? Because I was big in the camp of the Rodgers just needed someone new. Is LaFleur the guy that's going to kind of bring back all his like best talents and all that kind of stuff?
Well, you would hope so, and it's interesting because I was talking about this on my show the other day. As excited as Packer fans are about the possibilities and the potential, you know, we don't really know exactly which avenue LaFleur is going to go down as a play caller and as an offensive, you know, designer. Mm-hmm. He's been a lot of places. He's been with a lot of people, guys who have had a lot of success, whether it is, I mean, he gets tagged a lot with Sean McVay, but it's really Kyle Shanahan's system that he's kind of grown out of. And I'm just wondering what kind of personal stamp is he going to put on it? I mean, everything he said, it sounds like he's going to be very Shanahan-like. You know, that zone run scheme, everything flowing off of that, that should make Aaron Rodgers' life easier. So I think the potential is there. And if you look at what Sean McVay did with Jared Goff, I mean, that was Jared Goff. This is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
If this offense can even open him up just even a little bit, I think the rest of the NFL is in for a rude awakening.
The fact that teams will not have game film on this new offense, do you think that's a huge advantage to help them early in the season as they figure out what receivers are going to step up and this and the chemistry between them and Rodgers?
Absolutely. I think the first month, it really helps them. Now, obviously, once you get stuff on tape, people start breaking it down, they look at your tendencies, et cetera, that will come into play as the year progresses. But that first month, I mean, think of the Bears last year when Nagy mm-hmm. came on board. No one really knew what to expect, and then that very first drive of the first game of the season against the Packers, he threw everything in the kitchen sink at him. And everyone, this was definitely not the same Bears offense. And I think there's going to be some element to that of that in Green Bay. It's just a question of, again, which flavors does he choose? What does he choose to emphasize? And how much window dressing does he put on it? But the options and the, you know, the potential is limitless. I'm just excited to see it hit the field.
Yeah, and going off of that, so we obviously know Davante Adams is very good. But then Randall Cobb's now gone. Ty Montgomery's gone. Not that he was ever anything really special, but it was something that Rodgers was used to. Who do you see out of this young wide receiver crew that's going to step up and probably be number two?
Well, I think it'll be a good mix of a lot of guys. I think kind of the leader in the clubhouse at the moment is probably a combination of Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Geronimo Allison. Mm-hmm. Allison's been running in the slot a lot during OTAs. But it's spring. They could be trying stuff. You know, really ever know until you kind of get into camp and start seeing how things are utilized there. But I do think those two guys in particular are probably the ones that will get the most looks slash reps. Now, that's not to belittle Equanimeous St. Brown. I think he's going to be in the mix.
Tough names in the wide receiver core. Yeah.
I think Jake Kumerow will be in the mix. But ultimately, I think those two are going to be the ones who you're going to see the most of. And I'll tell you what, Valdez-Scantling, he has the potential to be a star. I mean, saw kind of real kind of snippets of it last year, and then he kind of tailed off as the season went on. But I tell you what, if he can tap his potential, the sky's the limit for that kid. He is exciting.
Who's a running back this year? Is it by committee, or where are we going?
No.
Well, yeah, I think it'll be by committee. I think Aaron Jones will get featured a little bit more. It won't be the frustrating mix that we saw with Mike McCarthy where, okay, this guy just had a great drive, but my philosophy says the next guy has to go during the next drive. And it was just, why are you taking out the hot back? Like, that always drove me insane. So I think LaFleur will hopefully do a better job in that regard, but I do think you will see a mix of Jamal Williams and the Williams kid out of Notre Dame that they drafted. I think that will be not a heavy committee, but I do think they're going to try and keep Jones as fresh as possible.
Well, yeah, because LaFleur, I mean, he did a little bit of committee work at his last stop, but hopefully he...
Yeah, and that drove fantasy players.
I know, that's why I didn't know if you thought maybe he would do the same thing with the Packers. What are your thoughts on Jimmy Graham's time so far in Green Bay?
I actually just did a video on this late last week. Because everyone's talking about it, right? And there's been a ton of sound bites about it. And I know the hope is that the new offense kind of unleashes him, so to speak. But I see a guy who's got some dead legs, who's at the end of his career. And he was brought in, supposedly, to be this red zone weapon. You know, he had come off that last season in Seattle where he scored 10 touchdowns. And you thought, okay, Aaron Rodgers is going to make hay with this guy in the end zone. But that just never materialized. And he had some production. He had like around 600 yards, but a lot of that was just, I don't want to say cheap. I don't want to say garbage time, but a lot of it was cheap and garbage time.
Yeah, you can say it.
You know, as far as like being a weapon in the offense, I just don't see what he offers between the 20s. I saw a guy who couldn't get any separation last year. Maybe the offense now, the design helps free him up a little bit, gives some rubs, some crossers, what have you. But man, I'm not bullish. Let's just say it that way.
Aaron, do you think, because going into the draft, I was hoping the Packers would use at least a couple picks on some weapons for Rodgers. Are you in the boat that you think Rodgers is good enough to just make the guys he has right now better and kind of legit weapons throughout the season? Or would have you liked to see them maybe grab one or two guys that they could throw in the slot? Or, I mean, I know they got Sternberger, but outside of that, like, were you expecting anything else there?
I didn't know what to expect. I did kind of wish and pine for, and I said this to somebody in the organization the other day, I really wish just once they would get someone with like crazy speed.
Exactly.
You know, someone who just destroys the top of the defense. And when they didn't take Hollywood Brown, I kind of really got sad because that was like the guy I was really hoping for. And look, they've had a philosophy there forever, and Brian Gutekunst has clearly stuck with it in regards to their scouting department, how they look at that, the wide receiver position. And Gutekunst, to his mind, all they need is a new offense. You know, they got the same quarterback, they got pretty much the same offensive line, and they stuck with the same wide receivers. So I think that's the onus is on LaFleur, and that's why I'm so excited / kind of nervous to see what happens, because you didn't go out and get anybody. You made the determination, clearly, that all you needed was a new offense. Well, here it is. I hope it works.
Do you ever notice a difference in Rodgers' approach from offseason to offseason? Like, since it wasn't a great season last year, Is there a different approach to him this offseason? Because from the outside, I never see it. He's always just Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers. But from someone who's there every single day, do you see anything like that?
Well, it's noticeable how much kind of, I don't want to say happier he is, but he's definitely quicker with a quip and laughing a little bit more. And, you know, as far as his personal kind of approach, obviously we're not privy to that. I couldn't say how he's approached the offseason, but it's certainly no coincidence that Mike McCarthy and everything around it is gone. And there's a whole new, you know, whole new kind of slew of coaches there, some of which were brought in specifically for Aaron Rodgers. Luke Getsy, his quarterback's coach, that was a guy who was a wide receivers coach and then left a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And Aaron and he were really good friends, and Aaron clearly wanted him back, and now he's back. So I think stuff like that has gone on that has kind of – they've thrown him a few bones, so to speak, to kind of ease the transition. And like I said, that's clearly different. He's not as gloomy as he once was. But as far as his work, he's always been a pro. He always puts the work in. I don't see any change there.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. I enjoyed all the shots that he took at all the other quarterbacks when they were criticizing his drinking the other day. All right, so we're doing this to everyone. It is June 10th, but we're doing this to everyone who's calling in. Week one, Packers are +3.5 points at the Chicago Bears. Can you make a pick on that one?
It kills me to do it, but I got to take the Bears there. It's at home. That's a tough defense. Mm-hmm. Packers are going to be rolling out a new offense. I think it'll be a little bit lower scoring, but I can't see the Packers going in and getting the W on that one.
Well, we appreciate your honesty. At least you're not a homer here with your picks.
I'm a homer, but I'm
also real. Yeah, exactly. That's how you're supposed to be, and that's how we have to be on the show too. And we appreciate you so much for calling in. And best of luck this season.
Thanks, Aaron.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Thanks, Aaron. Have a good day.